The weather may be cooling down, but the deals are heating up during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, beefy burgers, cozy comfort meals, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today. From tailgating essentials to everyday family favorites, the Red Hot Sale event is your chance to save big on everything you need to serve up fabulous fall flavor. USDA certified tender steaks, plump and juicy air-chilled chicken, easy appetizers, and even cozy comfort meals for those busy weeknights. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Blaze a trail to OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty. And I'm joined by Rico today. Stu, we will not be getting Jake's world-famous naps today. Rico, are you going to take any naps today?
No, I don't have – I can't take naps. I can't afford to take naps.
You are a very busy guy. You are a very busy guy. My kids tend to take naps whenever I'm talking to them, but I digress. All right.
I wish my kids took naps.
Oh, man. Unique insight, unbridled honesty, if you can't tell. We're going to have a whole lot of fun. I'm joined by Rico today, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Join Steve Taylor on Wednesdays. Grab your lunch. Come join us. You're going to hear Husker sports, college football, and general sports as a whole today. The topics on tap for today, Matt Rhule, okay, kind of used the word, I forget the exact phrase, but he used the word, and I quote, chaos, but like he expected the chaos. He anticipated. He even tried to warn us about it, to be honest with you, which is part of the reason why when you watch him in these press conferences, these past two press conferences, his signing day press conference yesterday after their bowl practice, like he's very good with the microphone in front of his face. Like he's very good at public speaking from before he got here. I knew that his first press conference, like he's very, very good. So sometimes it's hard to tell. And that's a compliment, by the way. It's a good thing. All right. It's much better than being bad in front of the microphone. So it's a compliment. But sometimes I can't tell, you know, if he's good in front of the microphone. Do I take sometimes with a grain of salt? The only time I've ever been like, wow, that was bad was earlier this year. Okay. And this is long in the past, but when he like really didn't know how to make the offense better. And I'm paraphrasing. He clearly looked lost in that press conference. That was eons ago. Other than that, he always looks great. Sounds great. But there's something different about the past two press conferences. And I watched the one yesterday and I'm like, man. So yes, he used the word chaos, basically expecting chaos. There's going to be more chaos, perceived chaos, I think is the words he used. And there's going to be more to come. And he's right. But I watch him. He's like, I love December. And basically he anticipated, he expected, he tried to warn us about it. But I'm like, there's something under the surface that I feel like he knows in a really good way, because it doesn't come across to me, his past two press conferences, like someone who's just really good in front of the mic. Like there is something he's uber confident about. And there's like, and I'm like, I watched it a couple times. And I'm like, all right, there's going to be more chaos coming, but he seems ready for it, anticipated for it. And there is chaos when you have coaches leaving and coming and going, and we're going to hire a secondaries coach, and you got a bowl game, and you got the transfer portal and NIL and signing day. And just imagine the NFL with the draft, free agency, and the season all leading up to the Super Bowl. Like, how crazy would that be? It's ridiculous. We need to fix this college football calendar. But that's a topic for the offseason, about how to fix college football's offseason, which is really in season, which is half the problem. But I digress. My point is, there's something under the surface when I look at it, when I'm watching him, and I'm like, is this offseason Kool-Aid? Is this the offseason national championship just coming out of me already? Like, it's too soon for this. I got to wait until at least January for this. But it's like, I'm watching him. There's something underneath the surface, and I'm trying to read between the lines. Why does he look so interconfident? Why does he come out and talk about the year three jump again when he doesn't need to talk about it to begin with? And he's just like, states it like a fact. We're going to take a jump. Year three, we're going to take that jump. And I'm like, I'm trying to like read between the lines. So here's what I came up with after talking with some folks I know, their impressions, my impressions, watching it again. As far as the year three jump, I asked people to chime in yesterday, and then I forgot to ask for Jake's response from the text line. So do me a favor. What's that text line there, Rico?
402-464-5685, the Honda of Lincoln hotline, the Sartor Hayman text line.
All right, so what would you consider a year three jump? Text into that number. All right, and I thought about it since yesterday. For me, the bare minimum, this is not a jump. This is just a step. Okay, but the bare minimum is 7-5. Bare minimum, that's not a jump. What I would deem as acceptable is 8 wins. Acceptable. The goal, if we're talking a jump, is 9 wins. And then some people were like, no, Adam, that's not enough. If we're talking a jump and you're getting 9 wins, there's got to be at least one ranked win in there. And you got to be at least, you got to keep in mind, we've won one game in November the past 2 years, okay? You got to be at least 500 in November. So to me, that's what a jump means. All right, Rico, stop me whenever we get some responses. Let me know what the people are saying. But what does a jump mean to you?
Can I read you the four November games?
Go ahead.
So the four November
games. It's tough. It is tough. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
USC at home on November 1st.
Yep.
Travel to UCLA the next week. Then you have a bye week. You travel to Penn State. And then you host Iowa.
I'm going to stick. If you're going to win 9 games, you got to be 500 in November. And yes, that is probably the toughest stretch of our entire schedule. I'm going to shock you with this. The first 4 games is the least difficult. You got your 3 non-conference, although Cincinnati's a power. We're going to pretend Big 12's power 4 still. A power 4 team. I'm just going to go with the narrative. Okay. It's power 2, the next 2, and everybody else. But we'll say power 4. And then Michigan, I believe, they're the 4th game or 5th game?
They're the 4th game, right after Houston Christian.
Okay. Well, our version of Mercer. But yes. So that's probably the easiest part of our schedule. Then you get into the meat of the schedule, and then you get into the last month of the schedule. So I'm going to stick with it. If we're talking jump, not improvement, not step forward, jump. One ranked win, 500 in November. 8 wins is acceptable. 9 wins is the goal. Are people disagreeing? Do we have any responses yet?
Right now, yes. Thunder.com says, with that schedule, the jump is 10-2.
Ooh, okay. No, I don't want to hear schedule again, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Railroader Matt says, competitive play every game and 7-8 wins is a jump for them. Riley W. Adam says, nothing wrong.
All right. I like it. The other response I got was when the games were supposed to. And if we do that, my goodness, there's 8.
My question for that.
I don't want to look at the schedule and project wins again. No, go ahead.
My question for that is, what is the games you're supposed to outside of like the non-conference, okay, Cincinnati, sure, I guess you could say that's the one you're supposed to get. But then, you know, you have Akron and Houston Christian. Like, okay, those are games you're supposed to. But then in the Big Ten Conference, with how Nebraska's played the last few years, what are the games you're supposed to win?
So if we just go by who's supposed to win, we should start 3-1 with all due respect to Cincinnati, Akron, Houston Christian. And if we're supposed to win or lose these games, not going to dive into depth. Michigan's going to be supposed to beat us 3-1. Michigan State, Maryland, Minnesota, Northwestern. I don't know enough about, I mean, nobody knows enough about their team at this point in time to project to next year. Let's just say we're supposed to be just looking at brands, Maryland, Northwestern, and maybe you split Minnesota and Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan State.
Those ones could be coin flips.
6-2.
Yeah.
So then you get to the last month. We're supposed to beat UCLA. Mm-hmm. We're probably not supposed to beat USC or Penn State. So then what's that got us? 8-3?
8-3.
So then it comes down to Iowa. And Iowa has obviously had the advantage. If you go to overtime, Nebraska's supposed to win over extended period of time. If you go to recruiting freaking rankings, Nebraska's supposed to win. Mm-hmm. So if we win the games we're supposed to, it's in Lincoln, by the way.
Yes.
9-3.
Okay. If you win the games you're supposed to win, you get 9 wins.
And 500 in November, by the way.
That'd be nice. That would be a really nice jump.
All right.
And depending on the rankings of those other teams, mm-hmm. and the thing is, when Nebraska wins, because mm-hmm. that goes into it, Nebraska could end up with a number next to their name at the end of the season.
That is true. You get, well, if we're 9 wins as a Big Ten team, you're going to be ranked.
Yeah.
Okay. Beating one ranked team, being 500 in November, we're probably top 20 at that point if we've done something like that. Now, we don't play Oregon. We don't play Ohio State. Okay, I don't know what Michigan's going to look like next year. Obviously, they finished the year. They're pretty happy how they finished the year. Yeah. But as a whole, Michigan fans aren't happy.
They're probably starting a true freshman at quarterback next year.
The odds are, yeah. Penn State, they're always going to be a good, tough team. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going back to reading between the lines. So I'm going to connect dots. Maybe they should or should not be connected. But to me, if you just think about it for 2 seconds and then we'll move on with our lives and I'll never bring it up again. I get the feeling Matt Rhule, and he's told me to my face last spring, he goes, you've got to make the hires and the decisions that you want to make, not worrying about people's reactions. And he flat out said, I'm not trying to make the splashy hire. He's going to make the best hire he sees fit. That's John Butler.
Do you want to hear that quote?
Go ahead.
It's in about a 2 minute long thing, but this is Matt Rhule on why and how he came to the decision to hire John Butler as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it was very, very, very methodical. I talked to John about his vision. I interviewed probably 5 people, 6 people. There were a lot of parameters to me that mattered. The least of which was the optics. You know, I was like, I didn't care about making a splash or anything like that. I wanted to make the right decision. As I've said, you know, Coach Kevin McGarry, who's been here the last couple of years, you know, I think he told one of the candidates, you know, that coming here is a defensive coordinator's dream. You know, we practice a certain way, we play a certain way. So I wanted to get the right person. I talked to a lot of great candidates. There was a ton of interest from sitting defensive coordinators. I thought I really like what we've done the last 2 years. You know, I thought we maybe took a step back defensively a little bit this year in some areas. But I like what we've done. I like the overall general philosophy. And so, but to win moving forward, and this is something that, you know, a mentor of mine, Phil Snow, said to me. He said, you know, Matt, to win moving forward, you know, the things we're doing, the havoc that we're creating is great on, you know, first and second down. To be great moving forward on third down, you know, some of the stuff that we've done in the NFL, you know, third down packages, second and long packages versus the teams who can really throw it. Like, you know, we can go out, we play good against Iowa, but, you know, Iowa's a running team. You know, to be able to stop the offenses that we're going to need to stop, that can drop back and spin the ball. We're going to need some advanced, I think, defense on third down, 2 minute red zone. As I went through that, you know, John had the top secondary in the NFL for 5 years. There was a lot of outpouring from our current players, guys I really respect. And, you know, I'm not going to make that decision because of that, but I think they felt like some of the current guys in the secondary felt like after 3 or 4 years in college, John had brought a professionalism and a next level mentality to them that they thought was going to prepare them for the next level. Some of them had no business, you know, they're leaving, so they didn't have to say that to me. So I think it was just a combination of who can add to what we're already doing at a high level, who can bring some things secondary wise to really help us. And after working with John for a year, I thought he was really, really professional.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Really good to work with, great evaluator, and excited for him.
So a couple of things real quick. A lot of people have said, oh, he's just hiring his friends. He literally just said he's worked with him for a year. So this is not a friend hire. All right. Oh, before I forget, I almost forgot. Character's Trivia Challenge. It's going to be the first person who calls in. We'll start the second segment with it. Okay. Rico's got the questions.
Yep.
Call in. Have some fun. What's that number again, Rico?
402-464-5685.
They got the questions. All right. You beat me, you get the prize. If I win, I still play for the people. Third caller after that wins. But call in. The first person to call in, we will bring you live on air. You can do a Character's Trivia Challenge. We'll have a little fun, mano e mano or mano e woman, whatever the case may be. But I listened to that press conference. Part of the reason I think he's acting the way he is, and there were times last year when he's like, that was a brutal week. The Indiana week was brutal. I think after UCLA, that loss, that was a brutal week the following week. I think he's now like, I'm going to do what I think is best, which he's always done, but there's a certain level of passion, eyeballs, and chatter that follows a passionate program like Nebraska. And I think it was even a surprise for him, even coming from the Panthers. And I think he's now like, I'm not going to do the splashy hire. I'm going to hire the guy I think is best. And here's the deal. He took no shots, nothing but love and respect to Tony White, Terrence Knighton, by far our best unit the past 3 years, not even close was the defense. But if you listen to what he said, there were some things we didn't do as well. And he wasn't wrong. Okay. Now, some of that is the secondary, which was John Butler's responsibility, which is why a lot of Husker fans, including myself, were like, I don't know about this. Tackling, pursuing to the ball. I addressed that yesterday. He was 100% correct on all that. But he talked about scheme. So to be clear, when it comes to Tony White, Terrence Knighton, like Tony White's going to be head coach someday. Nothing but love and respect. Terrence Knighton's going to be a D coordinator, probably beyond that. Nothing but love and respect. But if you listen, I think there's some things Rule wanted to do differently, probably during the season. And I think he can do them going forward now. He's the head coach, to be clear. But Tony was also in charge of by far the best unit. But Matt Rule's also a defensive guy. I think Butler may be more on the same page X and O's wise, coming from that NFL background, which is what Rule talked about. And by the way, as god-awful as Carolina was while he was there, their defense was good. They actually had the number two defense in the league 1 year. It was the offense and other things that were. The defense has always been ahead of the offense on Rule's teams in the past. We got Dana Holgorsen here to hopefully help with that next year. So the question is the defense. I think they're going to be more on the same page schematically. I think John Butler, he's relatively unproven as a DC. He was at Penn State 2013. They had all the scholarship issues and things of that nature at that point in time. Some of the sanctions. So he's relatively unproven as a DC when it comes to the pass game, which is where we struggled and which he was in charge of. But my point is this. I think Phil Snow, Matt Rule, and John Butler, and I was curious, is Butler going to be in charge of the defense like Holgorsen clearly is in charge of the offense? I get the feeling yes. I get the feeling Rule likes what Butler's going to do schematically. I get the feeling Phil Snow is here. He's not hired, by the way, to be clear. If and when he comes, all right, he's basically going to help Rule. He's his most trusted coach over the years is Phil Snow for Matt Rule. He's going to basically help him be a head coach because he's only one man. And I've said before, being a college football coach is insane right now. By the way, I love Bill Belichick, but I can't wait to watch how that unfolds. Nobody's going to out-scheme him. But what's going to happen? I've been in meetings with that guy, and I've often thought, well, it's a good thing he coaches in the NFL. He'll never relate to young kids. Well, now here he is. Pre-draft meetings, by the way. Never played for him, to be clear. And I'm curious to see how he appeals to young kids, how he relates, especially since they can just up and leave anytime they want now. I'm just curious.
Interesting dynamic there.
It's going to be phenomenal. All right.
He plays Scott Frost in September.
I saw that. I can't wait for that. Such polar opposites in so many ways. My point is simply this. And these are the dots I'm going to connect, whether they should be connected or not, and then I'm never going to address it again. Last summer, our DB's coaches let go. Terrence Knight, not long after that, changes his ex-bio. Then he changes it back and everyone calms down. John Butler is brought in. Tony White was not necessarily consulted on that. I don't think that that's a bad thing. I don't know it's a great thing. I don't know that it thrilled Tony. But Matt Rule has to prioritize knowing that Tony's leaving. This is my DC in waiting. And he's flat out said that was the idea, one of the ideas when they brought Butler in. So you connect these dots now. Now at Florida State, Evan Cooper, Terrence Knighton, Tony White. Dots connected. Maybe they shouldn't be. I'm just going to put that out there and leave it alone. And maybe we're better in the future because some of these guys may be more on the same page. That's my only point and the only reason I bring that up. Does that make sense, Rico?
It does make perfect sense.
Okay. So maybe we're better on defense next year. Maybe we're not. I would take equivalent two. I'd be happy with that. And let's get the offense a whole hell of a lot better on the special teams.
There you go.
Some, Bully, I love you. You shook my hand. You looked me in the eye. But at some point, that's got to be addressed. Right now, it's 100%. Kind of under the radar.
It's
okay.
An interesting side of the ball that has, yes. There's been very little talk about it.
So if we make that kick at Iowa, do you think Foley's done enough to keep his job?
No.
Even if we make that kick?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to.
You're feeling better, but it's the way that the special teams played at the beginning of the season, it and the rest of the season, really outside of the field goal kicking, and really that was just one guy coming in and changing things. He got right at the Ohio State game. It just wasn't good enough all around in my mind to keep him around.
It's a whole topic for another day.
Yeah.
But I wanted your initial thoughts. At some point that will be addressed and we will talk plenty about it. I appreciate Rico's initial thoughts because I'm honestly on the fence because I haven't thought about it. We've had so much going on. I will dive more into it another time. All right. So those are the reading between the lines and expect more chaos. Matt Rhule warned us. He was right. It was more than we expected. He didn't seem shocked. And I'm very interested to see what comes in the near future. All right. As far as chaos, reading between the lines, and we'll see what happens on defense. They're going to bring in a secondaries coach as well. All right. Finally, we're going to talk Nebraska's 15. When I was going to talk about this on Monday or Tuesday, I think I had 8 players. And then people just kept messaging me. And then we got a commitment yesterday. We're up to 15 players. Now, there could be more. You could say the entire 2025 recruiting class, but we know they're going to be here. These are guys who are young, talented, and could enter the portal that we need to retain. Young core players, and I'm not trying to say any of these guys are leaving. I actually think most of them are staying, which is why I have them on this list. So Willis McGahee, and this is in no particular order, by the way. Willis McGahee played behind true freshman Prince Will a couple of years ago. Prince Will was a true freshman. By the way, he's kind of trending to go where his older brother went, which was Ole Miss, it seems. All right, played in some games, made some big plays versus Colorado, Ohio State, Wisconsin, athletic. Christian Jones, Vincent Shavers, Dawson Merritt, Willis McGahee. Don't forget about Mubari as well. He's just got to put some weight on young, talented linebackers. Number one. Number two, Cam Lenhart. Only returning defensive end, by the way. I started multiple games as a true freshman, played it over 20 games throughout his career. A Scott Frost guy that's still here. Got to recognize that. Hasn't gone anywhere and appears to be staying. There's been some smoke, but he appears to be staying. Got him on this list. Riley Van Poppel played more as a true freshman last year. Played 4 games, redshirted. A guy can play nose or end. A lot of these guys are D linemen. People are freaking out on the defensive front, and rightfully so, which is why I kind of started off with some of these guys. All right, now we're going to bounce all over the place. Emmett Johnson, clearly he's back. Our best running back is back. That has to mean something. All right, the last 3 games last year, he finally got to show what he could do. And in that game versus Wisconsin, I'll say it again, why it hasn't been pointed out more, I don't know. He had more total yards in a Big Ten game than any Big Ten player has had in a Big Ten game since Saquon Barkley in 2016. Zaire Wright. How do you not love this guy? How do you not love this guy? Wasn't even a starter. Joined us in what, July? Comes in, earns a black shirt, probably our best DB by the end of the year. Dylan Raiola. I mean, do I need to delve into a whole lot of this? I mean, he had 12 touchdowns, 10 INTs, hot start, strong finish. I know he's personally peer recruiting several people. Him and Dana, what wide receiver, pass catcher doesn't want to come and play with and for those guys? They're clearly going to build the offense around him. Ja'Cory Barney. All right, not only led the team, but set a Nebraska freshman record, also led the team with 52 catches, 431 yards, 10 carries for 13 yards, which, by the way, I'm not a math major, but that 13 yards per carry is pretty good. All right.
He's a tough kid, too.
He is. And I see him, and I've said this before, as another Tavon Austin, potential-like and return game wide receiver, doing different things with him in a Dana Holgorsen-type offense. And that was pretty much my list the other day. And here's some of the other names that were thrown at me, and I'm going to agree with them, which is why I've added them. Carter Nelson. The future is so bright for that kid. Mm-hmm. I debated this one. There's no debate. I was an idiot for debating it. Heinrich Harburg. I love this guy.
Okay.
He's not just going to be a tight end. Matt Rhule flat out said, FY tight end. Then he's like, oh, he could be running back. He could be a receiver. And he's like excited to see what Dana can do with him as a chess piece in that Dana Holgorsen type offense. Keona Davis. He was not off. He was gone when I had this list Monday. I'm glad I waited to talk about this. He's back. Again, another guy up front. Jalen Lloyd. These are other people that were sent to me. Jalen Lloyd. Don't forget what he did as a true freshman out of nowhere. I only Ohio State receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
The only person in the entire Big Ten that averaged more yards per catch 2 years ago than Jalen Lloyd was Marvin Harrison Jr. Top five pick in the draft. I'm not saying Jalen's going to or not going to be a top five pick, but he's got that type of speed, burst, playmaking ability.
Hey, I thought he was one of the best route runners in that freshman class, in his freshman class.
He is. With all due respect to Jamal Banks and Isaiah Nayor, oh, man, this is me getting real. Nothing but love and respect. And when I interviewed Jamal, one of my favorite players on the entire team this year, Jamal and Emmett were my two favorite players I interviewed. I don't know that them coming here helped us as much as we would have liked because Jalen didn't see the field as much. Mm-hmm. Ja'Cory, eventually as the year got along, got the ball, but maybe that happens sooner. And nothing but love and respect. Okay. Williams and Warrior. How do I not add this guy to the list after yesterday?
Whoa, buddy.
There's 15. All right. Does anybody have anybody I missed? What's the final thing on the text line before we hit the break, Rico? Anything?
No other. Well, ThurnarCon said, sorry, I'm hyped on Kool-Aid and milk coffee. When I asked about what are the games you're supposed to win, he said, all of them. You're supposed to win all of them.
You are correct. You are absolutely correct.
Can't really disagree with that
one. No, can't disagree. Let the red Kool-Aid flow. It's my favorite color. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. And again, call in. Do we have any callers yet?
We did have a caller. I don't know if anybody answered it back here, but just call in again.
Yes,
we're going to go this break. I'll answer the phones. 402-464-5685.
First person to call in, you're going to get brought in. Characters Trivia Challenge. You may win a prize, and you can beat yours truly. We'll have some fun. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.